It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I know most of you probably could have plenty of things that you could do on Saturday afternoons. Me too. But you know what? I don't know about y'all, but I'm the best that Paul Blair ever is when I'm preaching the gospel, with the Spirit anyway. When I'm standing up here, I'm the best Paul Blair you'll ever see. I want y'all to know that. If you know, God's amazing.
Yes.
I've had some things on my mind this week that I struggled with whether that was what the Lord was laying on my heart. And then Brother Tim mentions it in his sermon. What a blessing that is. That every preacher wants that confirmation in his mind and in his heart that, okay, I'm in it. My mind this week has gone to times that I thought about Moses and how he sat in the place to mediate between God and the people. And how many times he was like Christ in that manner. How, and I don't want to, because you can get bogged down in talking about the children of Israel wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years and all those things that they did and things that happened to them. I just want to read a little bit out of the 32nd chapter of Exodus. And in verse 7, 32 and 7, he says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." He didn't say somebody else corrupted them. He didn't say you corrupted them. He said they corrupted themselves. "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And just for y'all, you can read later on in the next few chapters. And when Moses came down out of the mountain, had the tables of God with it, and he talked to Aaron, and he said, "I hear the noise of music. And what's this noise?" And Aaron said, I think it's war." And Moses said, "No, it's music." And he said, "What are they doing?" And he saw the molten calf. And Aaron said, "Moses, look here. The people said, you tarry long up here." And they wanted me to make them a god, and so I told them to give me the earrings and all the gold, and I did, and I threw it into the fire, and out came a calf. Calf just came out. Y'all know that ain't so. He was trying to propagate or trying to spread forth the idea of evolution right there, wasn't it? Just happened. Well, so that's about the molten calf, but he said, "They have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." I want y'all to know that God will not give his glory to another.
Amen.
He will not. He won't stand for it. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." Y'all know what a stiff neck is? I love these kids sitting on the front because I can preach to them. Y'all know what a stiff neck is? It's when somebody tries to get you to do something and you just don't want to do it. You just turn your head away. Like when you do something and your mama wants to love on you a little bit and you don't really want her to. You really do, but you don't want her to know it and you turn away. My son is 17 years old, fixing to be 18, and he still does that. He didn't do it last night though. He still does that. Stiff neck. Don't want to have any closeness with God. They're stubborn is another word for it. I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone. This is God talking to Moses. He said, now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Right. He says, I'll take that covenant that I made with Abraham. In effect, this is what he's saying. And I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Moses, if he would have been the kind of man that said, I want my name to be like Abraham's, he could have said, all right, God, I want you to make of me a great nation. So go ahead and consume them all in your hot wrath. Moses didn't do that, did he? And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self. Y'all remember that?
Amen.
By thine own self. And saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. I want to talk about what God did by himself for a little while. And I want you to, you can read this back in the 15th chapter of Genesis. How when he caused a deep sleep, well, first he gave Abraham some instructions. Said, Abraham, I want you to go and I want you to take a ram and I think a heifer and a goat or something else, and I want you to cut them in half, and I want you to flay it. That's what they call it, flay it. And I want you to set one on one side and one half on the other. Now that sounds kind of strange to us, but I want you, that's how men entered into covenants with one another a long time ago. Right. Something that they were serious about.
Right.
I mean, something that they were real serious about. Now, I even did this with one of my friends one time. I cut myself, and my mama's here today. She knows this man. We cut ourselves on the hand, and we clasped it like that to let each other know that we loved one another and that we'd always be friends. Okay? That's serious. It's serious to me. And it was serious to him. People, when they make a covenant with one another, it's different than a contract. Mm-hmm. Covenant is more serious than a contract.
Right.
A covenant you enter in, and the only way you get out of it is death.
Right.
Now y'all, as young kids, you especially boys, if you wanted to make a deal with one another or something, you'd spit on your hand and you'd swear and, you know, and shake, okay? The way they did covenants back then was they cut animals in half and they said, if I don't keep up my end of the bargain, I'm going to be like one of these halves right here, okay? So God told Abraham and he told him to do that, and Abraham, he caused a deep sleep to come on Abraham. And Abraham had a vision. And in that vision, he saw a smoking furnace and a burning lamp pass through those pieces of sacrifices or whatever you call them, those animals that he cut in half, because God entered, and those things, if y'all know exactly what that means, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp, y'all tell me what it means. But I know this, that Abraham did not walk in between those pieces. God did.
Right.
God was the one that represented, I mean, that the smoking furnace and the burning lamp represented God. And I think that grace and mercy passed through those things. And when God passed through those, he made a covenant with himself. Now, Abraham was a beneficiary of it. That means that he got all the goods and didn't have to do his, didn't have an end of the bargain to hold up. God made the covenant with himself. You know, I love that in the scriptures. He talks about things. God talks about things that he did by himself.
Right.
It doesn't. Y'all think about some of the things God did by himself. Now, so he did this for Abraham. And that was God showing that you didn't pass through these things, so you don't have a dog in the hunt. Y'all from the country, y'all know what that means. I hope you do. Y'all know what that means, don't have a dog in the hunt? That means you don't have a part or lot in that matter. Now, I want to go back over here to Galatians, and I don't know. If I see y'all going to sleep, I'll stop. So, you know, if you want me to stop, go to sleep. I want to go over to Galatians just for a minute or two. You know, those Galatian brethren, they were church-going folks. They loved God. They were fervent towards God, but they had a problem. Now, their problem was that they had heard of the Spirit of God and heard of the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and they said, we're not going to believe that no more. We're going to go back and live under this law that God gave, this set of commandments that God gave, and we're going to try to be good enough to make it to heaven. Now, kids, there's nothing wrong with doing good. There's not a thing wrong with doing good. The problem with doing good, sometimes if you think you're good, you think you get sometime to the point where you think, I am good. Mm-hmm. Like Brother Tim preached about this morning, that dear old sister that said, truth, Lord. To me, that's one of the best scriptures in the whole book. Truth, Lord, I am what you say I am. And yet, the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He says, but this church, they wanted to go back under the law. They wanted to go back under that bondage, really, of the law. Y'all know what bondage is, don't you? It's being in prison. It's being not being able to walk free. You know, there's freedom in Christ and liberty. The Bible calls it liberty. There's liberty in Christ. That doesn't mean that you're free to do whatever you want to do. But it means that you're free from the law of sin and death. It means that you're free to live within the bounds that God set. If y'all don't get nothing else today, I want y'all, especially in this front few rows, to get that. There's freedom in Christ, but it doesn't give you the freedom to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
Y'all hear me? Oh, the folks in the back can listen to that too. But these folks wanted to go back under that bondage kind of law. And Paul called them, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He says, you've tasted the good things of Jesus Christ, and you want to go back under the weak and beggarly things that just pointed to Christ when you already got Christ. And he says, He says, where? And he asked them a question in verse 19 of chapter 3. He says, well, I want in verse 13 first. We'll just read that. He said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed that every is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I got a question. Have you ever done something? I know you boys have. That's why I'm looking at you. Have you ever done something and you got away with it because your mama thought somebody else did it? And you were sitting there and you were thinking, got by that time. Got by that time. Have you ever done something real bad that you didn't want nobody to know? And nobody found out about it. And you thought, got away with that. Have you ever been blamed for something that somebody else did? Have you? I have. I've been in both situations. I think most of y'all have too. Been blamed for somebody else, something that somebody else did. And how'd that make you feel? I don't deserve this, mama. I didn't do it. James did. Lord did. That's my brother and sister. And I tell you, if you're a middle child, you'll get a lot of that. I didn't deserve that. I want to talk about that for a minute, being a middle child. Since my mom is here, she can probably confirm most of this stuff. Middle child's got it rough. Not only does the middle child, I know there's some of y'all out there, y'all laughing. You know, listen to me. The middle child gets it from the top and the bottom. You hear me? They're not good enough to do the things first, and they're not pitiful enough to be loved on like the younger one is. Now, I'm not getting mad at the older and younger ones. Don't get me wrong about that. I'm just telling you it's a different set of circumstances for the middle child. And I'll tell you this too, that being the middle child, you can either go one of two ways. You can let it bother you so bad that you sink in your own and wallow in your own pity. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of stresses that go into being a middle child. I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. I mean, it is funny, but I'm being serious. There's a lot of stresses that most people don't really realize that go into being a middle child. And you can either handle it one or two ways. You can wallow in your self-pity, and you can be rebellious. You hear me? You can be rebellious, or you can take that and use those skills to be a mediator. Y'all know what that is? Brother Tim mentioned that today. Be a mediator. That's a person. Middle, meaty, means middle. Mediator means in the middle. Middleman. One that understands the plight of the downtrodden, but also understands what it means to be rich. Understands where the old siblings coming from as well as from the young. Learns to be a good negotiator. Like Brother Tim said, a negotiator. Look at things from different perspectives sometimes. Well, this says, and sometimes mediator means a daysman or a go-between. An advocate, a lawyer, if you will. Isn't that funny? We got two lawyer preachers here, maybe more, I don't know. And then the one that's not one is up talking about it. That's a pity. If I say something wrong, y'all stop. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the law, being made a curse for us. So what you did, Christ paid for. You know how when you stole that gum and your mama thought it was you? You said, it wasn't me. But you really did it. And then she spanks your brother, or in my case, you know, me. When he gets away with it, you know. That's you, that deals with you in your mind now, I'm telling you. But I want you to think about, not only did you stand guilty. You know, you can go for a long time in your life. You can go for a long time running away from God. Mm-hmm. Saying, he didn't breathe his hot wrath on me today. I got by with it one more day. You can do that. But when you hear that someone took your punishment for you, and that you don't have to, that not only did he take the punishment for you, but he said, God, be merciful to them. Amen. For they know not what they do. Isn't that what Jesus did? When they punished Christ, when they took him and beat him and took the crown of thorns and planted it, they spat on him, they hit him, and they nailed him up on a cross. And what did Christ say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they railed against him while he was on the cross, and they said, if thou be the Christ, come on down from there, and we'll believe that you're the Son of God. They wouldn't have believed that no more than a man on the moon if Christ would. And he could have. His anger could have waxed hot. Yeah. Boy, mine would have. Mm-hmm. I would have said, I'd have been like God. Do away with them all. I mean that way. I'm not really mean. Well, I can be. I would have said, these people don't care one thing about you, God. Just wipe them off the face of the earth. But oh, there was a mediator. Amen. That stood between God and the people, his children. And he said, Father, I'll take whatever punishment they got coming. Whoop me, so let them go free. Whoop me, and let them go free. Because God's wrath will be satisfied. His justice has to be satisfied if there's an injunction against God. Is that the right word? Maybe not. If there is a... what's another word for it? If there's a sin against God, God can't just let it slide.
Right.
And he just don't let it slide. Somebody's got to pay. Those sins are not... I mean, they may affect other people, like if you call your friend ugly, fat, you know, like Brother Paul. If you call him, you know, you call your friends that, you know, that may affect them. That may hurt their feelings a little bit. But that's not a sin against them. It's a sin against God.
Amen.
And it has to be paid for. I mean the smallest of sins. Justice has got to be satisfied. Now, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about how many injustices that you've done. How many times that, how long even you've gotten away with being blasphemous. How long you've gotten away with being disobedient to your parents. How long you've gotten away with being maybe having a hidden sin on the inside that you're trying to hide from everybody. How long you've got away with that. And remember that Christ paid the debt for you.
Amen.
Remember that Christ is paying for that debt that you secretly love. Christ paid that debt. He did it on your behalf. And for you. Now, he says, we may have to deal with this another time. He says, he asks a question. He says, wherefore, is this too loud? Do I need to move that out? Okay. He says in verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? Why did you have to give the law? If Christ was going to come and take care of it anyway. He says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Y'all know what transgressions are, don't you? That's just a breaking of the law. That means that you're bad. Man. Always breaking the law. He says, it was added because of transgressions. Really, transgressions against God is what that means. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now I think he's talking about Moses. I think that the mediator there was the one that stood between the law of God and the punishment of God when he came down and he brought them first tables. Okay? Y'all know what happened? Did y'all know that Moses brought four tables down off the Mount Sinai? Y'all know that? Y'all know what happened to the first two? When he saw that golden calf, he threw that law down and he broke it to pieces. Y'all know that? I hope y'all have read enough in the scriptures to know that there God gave the law to Moses two times. Same law, two times. What did he do that for? First time Moses took those down when he saw the calf and he got fired up. He was mad. And he threw them tables down and broke them on the ground. Why did he do that? To show that there's not a law that God has given to man that he didn't break. But you know what? He called Moses up into that mount the second time. Now, God's serious about his law now, about his justice.
Amen.
He's serious. He's so serious about it, he told Moses, look, Moses, you better tell them people that they better keep all their flocks away and they better not approach up onto this mountain, because if you do, they're going to be killed. He's serious about it. Moses came back. Went back up in that mountain and God kept him up there, I guess, for 40 days or something, somewhere around in there. People didn't rise up to play this time. They were a little bit worried. He came down. He got that law. Them two tables of stone. And I don't know whether they looked like they did in the movie The Ten Commandments or not. I kind of doubt they did. And you know what he did with that law that time? He put it in a box called the Ark of the Covenant. It was an ark, you know, the ark of something that carried something. Like Noah's ark. See, it carried the animals. This was the ark of the covenant of God. But you know what he put on top of that covenant? He put the mercy seat on top of it. Y'all know what that was? That was the place that represented Christ. That no longer, I mean, Moses was the mediator of the law, but you know who the mediator of grace is? And redemption and reconciliation? It's Christ. He stands in your place, and he's the one that provided reconciliation with God. That means being made right. He made you right with God as being a mediator. He took your sins on him, on the cross. And not just, you just think about how many you committed, and you committed, and you committed. Think about it. It's a lot, ain't it?
Yeah.
It is for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God, he saved me. I can't believe it. But you think about all the people in this room and all their sins that Jesus Christ paid for. Then you see the people going down the road in the cars. And I don't know whether they're child of God or not. But if they are, Jesus Christ paid for their sins too. Then you think about all the people that are alive today in the world and their sins. And you think about this world some over 6,000 years old, and you think about all of the sins of all the God's children that have been dead for that long. And all the ones that will be born in the future, sinners. And all of their sins. Laid on the back of Christ.
Amen.
On the cross. All at one time. I don't even want to pay for the ones I've committed. I sure don't want to pay for yours.
Right.
But you know what Christ said? I will.
Amen.
I will. What did Paul tell the Romans? He said, for a good man some might dare to die, or peradventure, some might scarcely, they might die for a righteous man. But he said, but Christ, while we were yet sinners, died for us.
Amen.
I tell you what, you think you can get good enough to get Christ to love you, or get good enough to go to heaven, or get good enough by following the law to get to build yourself up and conjure the spirit in yourself to make yourself alive, or build something that you could climb up to God? It's not going to happen. No way to do it. Christ, he says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. But there's only one mediator between God and man, and we'll have to deal with that another day. But there's only one mediator between God and man. It's not your mama. It's not your dad. It's not your friend. It's not your brother. It's not your sister. It's not your grandma. It's not your granddad. It's not your preacher. There's only one mediator between God and man. It's not Mary. I'm sorry. It's not Mary. If Mary was it, we'd call her the Messiah. Bible says there's only one.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, I love that. There's only one. He said there's only one way to God.
Right.
And what is that? By Jesus Christ.
Right.
Only one way to God. There's not one way for the... I work with disabled kids, for those of you who don't know. There's not one way for the kids with Down syndrome and one way for a rich kid.
Nope.
There's not one way for a poor kid and one way for a smart kid. There's not one way for a black kid and one way for a red kid, or white kid, or purple kid, or black kid. African, American, Asian, Bangladeshian. There's not one way for each one of those people. There's only one way for all of them.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I tell you what, if he died on the cross for their sins, I'll guarantee you this, they'll be housed in heaven above with him when he comes back. And oh, boy, I tell you what. You know that there was a trumpet that sounded down that Mount Sinai for a while. And it said it got louder and louder and louder. I mean, I can't do a trumpet with just my mouth. I wish I could. But it just started off loud and it got louder and louder and louder. Boy, I just don't know. But you know, when Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be a trumpet sound.
Amen.
It's going to be a trumpet sound, and I tell you, all the ones that he died for will be with him in glory.
Yeah.
All those that won't, they'll have their chance to be their own counsel, right? They'll be their own counsel. They won't have a mediator. They'll be their own. That's a sermon for another day. Well, I tell you what. I can't imagine a place where there's no pain, no sickness, no diseases, no disability, no disabled kids. A place where you don't have to worry about losing your loved ones no more. A place where you don't have to worry about any pain anymore. And you think that Jesus Christ blessed you enough to want you to be with him while you were still a sinner.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Let's give him all the praise today, because he's the only one that deserves it. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.